our passion didn't start with a mouth. It started with people, with the well-being of the profession. And if you're like me, maybe a little bit of your nerdiness and all things tech too. We all want to love what we do, but the truth is burnout, people problems, and glass ceilings can keep us from doing what we set out to do. So let's get back to the heart of connection. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. This show is about passing you the knowledge, the habits, the systems, and the strategies to lead your teams, lean on your tech, and listen to your gut while you take care of people and truly the overall health of our communities. Let's stop using the wrong end of the toothbrush, y'all. My name is Dr. Kelly Tanner. Oh, and uniquely, I'm a dental hygienist too. You can consider me a guru in the dental and leadership industry. With over 3 decades of experience, my goal is to take you to the next level by empowering growth, perspective, and confidence. By identifying the gaps, recognizing the plaque, and extracting the truth with the other experts in the field. I'll share their stories, empower you to own yours, and elevate your passion in the process. So have a seat in the chair, put on your bib, and let's get to work. Welcome to the Dental Handoff. I am Dr. Kelly Tanner, your hostess. And today I have with me my new BFF IRL, Jennifer Turner. Jennifer, it is a honest and sincere delight to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Kelly, thank you so much. It's a delight. I follow you. I watch what you're doing. You're on fire. And we just instantly connected. So thank you so much for having me as a guest here today.
Yeah, when I see you all over social media, and I know that you and I were doing the bicuspid, you know, Dr. Bicuspid Awards, I was like, I have to know her. Like, why don't I know her better? So here we are. We get to learn about your journey, and we always start with, you're in Canada too, so it's not like our paths cross a whole lot. So I'm excited to get to know more about you and what you're up to. Why dental hygiene for you? Did it choose you? Did you choose it?
Thank you. Well, I wish I had, you know, one of those stories where you could say you knew you were lying in your bed as a little girl and you thought that you knew exactly what you were going to do when you grew up. But that is not the case. I did fall in love with dental hygiene, you know, the healthcare realm, you know, not by choice, but I was so fortunate that I received the gift of life. So many years ago, I was hit head on by a drunk driver and by a Volkswagen minibus, and it instantly knocked me into a coma, set me back a few years for, you know, living life. So my parents were told that they needed to go ahead and plan my funeral because I was not going to make it. So the good news is I don't remember anything. So I don't really have a feeling, because when you can't remember anything, you don't know. Believe it or not, you know, I didn't know how to brush my teeth. I didn't know how to wash my hair. I had home care, babysitters, couldn't be left alone. But when I did get better, I had the most amazing healthcare team, surrounded from speech pathologists, occupational therapists, a psychologist, you name it, I had that team. And those individuals were a gift to me. And I realized that giving, serving others was the reason that I did not, you know, that was not the end of my life. And so not necessarily did I see a dental hygienist in the hospital, but that most dental hygienists you meet are awesome, right? There's that gift, there's that nurturing. And so I ended up in dental hygiene because of healthcare. But I also didn't get accepted on the first try for x-ray technician. So I landed into dental and have never in a million years imagined what an awesome and wonderful career I would have.
Wow. That is just a heart-touching story. And I think, too, we realize, or sometimes maybe we don't realize, how much we do touch people's lives in what we do, and the day-to-day things that we see as normal, just going through the motions, of how much we affect and create that ripple effect in people's lives. Do you feel that too?
Every day, Kelly, I watch to see, do people actively listen, or are they listening to respond right away? Do they cut people off? And I think in dental, for all of us, we know that everyone has a story. So just because they come in looking good, you know, maybe they were up all night. Maybe they're not feeling well. Maybe there's financial burden. And so just remembering that everyone has a story is a friendly reminder that, you know, we're all human beings, and it's just really being kind first, making sure we're all okay. And then, of course, our businesses need to continue on, but we're people first.
Absolutely. So after you became a hygienist, what was your path? What did you do next? Were you in clinical for a while, or what'd you do?
I sure was. And I make this joke often, Kelly. I'm a Gemini, so I thrive on change. I was so grateful for my initial clinical path. I worked in a really large dental practice, and I worked in a really small one. So you got the best of both worlds. Early on in my career, I knew that I loved clinical. I loved taking care of patients, worked with some amazing dentists, dental assistants, dental hygienists. But I wanted to take a leap of faith, and I got into education. Mm-hmm. And so I taught at my alma mater, which was amazing. And I remember standing in the hallway when I worked part-time clinical 3 hours a week, saying to myself that I wanted to become a full-time professor. And I just worked my way, went back to school, and I did become that. And I'm not sure, Kelly, in your life, if you have some amazing mentors that have supported you through the different journeys and pathways throughout your career, but mentors are wonderful. And so my path, having people believe in me, Joanne Jones, who's an international speaker, invited me to speak with her for the very first time when I started. And, you know, it was a gift. I got into the Canadian Dental Hygienists Association to learn the association side for Canada, the College of Dental Hygienists of Ontario as president and chief governance officer to learn the regulatory piece, protect the public, you know, just like you. Professional speaking, webinars, authoring articles, you name it. I've had the journey to do what really feels right in my heart for myself and for others. Clinical practice is wonderful. And now I am working in the DSO world, and I have been for 7 years. And I truly believe it's people before profits. When we take care of one another, the money follows, right? Taking care of our patients, doing the right thing. You can go to bed at night feeling really good about the services you provided.
In any business.
In any business. That's
Yeah. Friendships, relationships. When you take care of the other person and love on them, then
they love
it just happens. So it sounds like you followed your passions along the way, as your Gemini spirit loves to do. I'm a Capricorn, so
That's good. Yes, I have had really close friends. You know, for example, going into the regulatory world, where you know it is regulating the profession, but the main job is protecting the public. Mm-hmm. And I did have very dear friends say to me, "You know, Jen, don't do that. That is career suicide. And you'll never get a job again." And in my heart, I just knew it was something I wanted to try. I always listen to advice, like all of us. But in the end, you have to make that ultimate decision for yourself. And I took the leap of faith in me. And it turned out to be one of the jobs that I absolutely learned the most at. Mm. And so, you know, you do have to believe in yourself and go for it. We don't want to live life with regrets, right? I should have done that. Yeah. I wish I would have done that. So it's a great thing.
And I think that you bring up a really good point in that while it's good to get advice and input if you're talking to someone, because obviously you're talking to and speaking with your trusted advisors and mentors. And I've heard that exact same thing where it's suicide. It's going to set you, career suicide. Mm-hmm. It's going to set you back. It's going to do this. It's like, but it's what I want to do. It's truly, I feel like this is the right thing to do. And that will always be there. They're not mutually exclusive. You can come back to that, right?
You sure can. And, you know, as a dental hygienist, we're lucky. We're fortunate because we've created that path for ourselves that we always have clinical practice. We can always go back, sharpen your skills, head back into the operatory, take care of others. So that was always my safety net that I knew I could, but I wanted to believe in myself and try and just try those things so that I didn't think 20 years later, I should have done that, but I was too scared.
So Jen, with the passion that you're talking about and that you clearly exude, what I'm hearing from you is that you don't have to choose between this or that, right? I really feel like some people think that if I go this direction, this will never be over here for me to come back to. And what is your thought on that?
Oh, Kelly, I absolutely agree because, you know, most dental hygienists, team members, they don't like change. So they want safety and secure, but it's okay to, you know, be in your position. And maybe what you want to do is you want to start writing some articles. So you get your feet wet. Then you find a study club where you could start speaking at if that's mm-hmm. your passion. So you don't have to leave your main, you know, how you're earning your income. But I strongly believe, and Kelly, I think you and I are on the same page. Get out there, network, meet amazing people. LinkedIn is a wonderful way to meet new friends. I always look and, you know, I got to meet you, Kelly. Strive for those that are doing something that you want to do. And most people are friendly and give their time. You know, come prepared, have questions, but believe in yourself. Take that leap of faith because you can always go back to doing what you were before, need be. But if you don't go ahead and do what it keeps you up at night and, you know, makes you passionate, then you're probably going to regret that you never took that leap of faith.
Yeah. No regrets, right?
No. No. Don't live with regrets.
And what I think that I remember clearly, I don't remember how long ago this was, but people would say, Kelly, what are you doing? I thought you were doing this, or I thought you were doing that. And it's like, I'm doing all of it. And they couldn't conceptualize that I just wasn't one thing and didn't just live in that title. And I think that we go through somewhat of an identity crisis mm-hmm. in some ways, because we are multidimensional people mm-hmm. and we can do anything we want. So I love the thought, and it sounds like you are too, Jen. Don't limit yourself.
Never. The sky is the limit. And even though you're scared, but you know, if you're up in the night and you're so excited about an idea, go try it, right? It has to be rational and you have to be, you know, think it through and talk with a trusted colleague, a loved one. You need like to make sure it's good, but just don't live with regrets. We have one life to live and we have so much to give. All of us have a story and, you know, go for it. That's how I feel always. Go for it.
Yeah. Do you feel like you had at some point an identity crisis of when you were making that decision to kind of branch off to take that job when someone said, hey, if you do this, this is not a good idea. Do you feel like, who am I? Did you have to have that conversation with yourself?
I did, but I couldn't sit here with you, Kelly, and say, I wasn't darn scared to do it mm-hmm. because I was, but that said to me, hey, Jen, lots of times I'll share with friends or, you know, new friends that I just met when they're asking for advice. And I'll say, but you don't want to wonder 20 years down the road. And I said to myself, I have to take my own advice because how can you say it to others and then not do it for yourself, right?
So take your own advice.
Exactly. Take
so
your
powerful.
Own advice. It's, you know, it wasn't easy, but I thought to myself, yes. And so I never looked back. I was so proud of myself. And those friends that said to me, Jen, it's career suicide, said, I'm so proud of you. You were a pioneer to try it out, even when we thought it was wrong. And I feel like what we do is not who we are. Mm-hmm. What we do is a gift to do a passion that we love and how we can serve others. Who we are is, you know, not Jen and Kelly in the full business world or trying to reach a goal or an award. That's something we get a recognition for, not because we need it, but because we've hopefully touched lives of others. So staying true to yourself of you know, who you are, but go chase those dreams. I really believe that.
Yeah. So now you are you are leading a lot of dental hygienists with the DSO that you're working with. And what does the day-to-day look like in that, in your position? Many people often wonder that. So, you know, what is the DSO world like in Canada?
Thank you for asking that. So remember I said I'm a Gemini, so I thrive on change. So every day is different. Sometimes I am working in practices, having dental hygiene meetings, discussions, working with the doctors, celebrating what's working well, finding out where are some gaps. Other days we're in a boardroom. Sometimes I'm creating virtual learning webinars, team meetings, creating contests for dental hygienists, working with our industry partners on dental hygiene instruments. We're maybe going to conferences, speaking, writing articles, getting invited to an amazing podcast like yours. There's so many different things that happen in my position. But the best part that I can tell you is it's the people. Mm-hmm. That's what like just is near and dear to my heart is the people. And so for that, I am so thankful. Way more great days. Happy to have financial analysts teach me skills about what we're doing. But the bottom line after years in being in the DSO world is when we do the right thing for our patients, we treat them like we would our mom, our dad, our loved ones, the money follows. So I don't need to be out there talking about money, but we need to meet our standards of practice. We need to do the right thing for patients, allow them to have informed consent, the patient can accept or the patient can decline. But if they're not educated, then how can they make that, right?
Do you find, well, I'm sure it's only here in the US where, I find that in dental offices that we don't tell the patients what they need because we don't think that they want to hear it.
I agree.
What is your advice on that to providers?
Amazing question. So I always say, you know, I think it's like 89% of the population is visual learners. 11 is auditory, give or take. Don't quote me on the exact percentage. But if we're not showing our patients what's going on in their own mouth, how on earth would they ever be able to make that informed decision? And we're so lucky where we are right now in time that, you know, there's digital scanners out there. And dental hygienists will sometimes say, Jen, like, I don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how can we not make time, right? That is the best gift you can give to your patient, or an intraoral camera picture. Put it up, put it on your screen. Patients are in awe. That's my mouth, right? So I feel like seeing is believing. And if you want to know why they want to keep coming back to you, really look at how do you educate them? What's in it for them? How do you make them feel, right? They can still decline, but at least they know exactly what's going on with their mouth.
Yes. It's, and then sometimes too, I find that even when that does happen, it's, we'll watch that, or we're thinking to ourselves with our own bias, because our bias is normal of, okay, if even though this looks like this, I'm not going to really tell them that it's a priority. I'm going to minimize the statements how I'm telling them. So how do you, and maybe I'm putting you on the spot, but
it's okay.
What is your thought about that? And how would you approach that with your hygiene teams?
Mm-hmm. So I say pretty much every day, our words matter. We've all had different coaches and friends, and you've read articles. A little bleeding doesn't cut it. We either have bleeding or we don't. Mm-hmm. A small cavity, well, we either have a cavity or we don't. So really analyzing, how do you speak? And I believe that teams need to pause, regroup, and begin again. So is there a common message throughout the practice? Do you ever talk about insurance barriers? Or how do we talk about these same five things that keep coming up every day? And let's work together as a team. So you don't need to be robots and be like, you know, hold a piece of paper and have the same message. But if you haven't talked about it, how do you expect it to be successful for the patients? So I'm a big believer in team meetings. And of course, we're going to celebrate things that are working well, but let's work together on areas that we're really having a hard time, like those clinical conversations, the top five things patients say to the admin team, where they don't know how to respond. Those are the kinds of things you need to work on to make your practice successful, in my eyes.
Yeah. And I think that many times that's, I love that. And again, I think that you and I are connected and we never knew it. I'm like, same. Yes. What I realize that happens a lot of times is that when we're speaking, we don't even realize that we're saying you have a little bit of bleeding with those minimizing statements. And so what I recommend to clinicians is record yourself speaking.
Yes.
Put a audio recorder in the operatory with you so you can hear yourself and what you're saying, and then go back and start to self-edit those statements and be more mindful of it.
Excellent. Excellent. And that makes something pop up into my mind. I was recently at a team meeting, and this has happened on multiple occasions. But when we talk in dentistry about oral cancer screening, you know, there's like a 50-50 where clinicians are letting their patients know that they're doing an oral cancer screening. And there's others that somewhat do it, but they don't let their patients know. And I always think that is a disservice because it's a value add. And we know the statistics about oral cancer screening, oral cancer, 50% five-year survival rate. So I often say to the teams, if we're not looking and letting our patients know, who is, right? Dentistry owns that. And so having these tougher conversations just make us better clinicians, better people, able to take care of others. And then the team feels happier because when there's confusion, it's really hard to know what am I accountable for?
Or
how am I doing, right? So I just feel that that time to work on these kinds of things in a practice is critical to your success.
Agreed. And, you know, as we all learned in hygiene school, like when we were baby hygienists, part of that oral cancer screening isn't just intraoral, it's extraoral as well. We're palpating the tissues on the outside of the head and neck. And so I find that that's a great way to present what it is that we're doing. Do you mind if I'm going to touch, because you're getting consent, right? I'm going to touch here. I'm going to start doing my examination for your oral cancer examination. I'm going to feel the lymph nodes along your neck. Is that okay with you? Yeah. Oh, well, I never had that done before.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. As you would say, your value add. And then I'm going intraorally. So they know it's all one. It's all part of a process that we provide and a service that we provide. Right. Because too, Jen, I think when we're using these minimizing statements, it creates confusion for the patient on the direction and the choice that they should make. Well, if it's only a little bit, how important is that? How important is Jen saying that that is that I do it to take action on that? Because it's something I can wait on.
I totally agree, Kelly, because, you know, the way we say it, it's similar to in Canada with our insurance companies. You say to a patient, you have 50% coverage for that crown. Or you say, you have 50% coverage for that crown, right? The Debbie Downer way, or a little more excitement. It's the exact same words, but it's your tone of voice, your body language. So finding that good and trying to present that, patients are not usually thrilled to come running through the door of the dental office. So the more positive we can be, the better it is for them as well.
I love that so much. You have 50% coverage. Yeah, like congratulations, a new car.
Exactly. Instead of, you know, oh, you have 50% coverage. So I just think our words matter, and teams need to pause and regroup and talk about these things. Sometimes, you know, practices call it the clinical portion, the admin, a clinical team, admin team, back end, front end, whatever you're calling it. But we're all under one roof in one office. So the whole team needs to be a part of the learning and celebration when things are working really well.
It sounds like that you and I are on the same page too, in terms of the team committing to go into CE together, yes. where it's so important for, I say, the front and the back. We know that that's the, yes. the divide and yes. a lot of the conversations, but for each other to understand the other's context and perspectives, you can speak this the same language and have the same conversation. It's not called something different when they get to the front.
Right. Right. And I just think, you know, in the DSO world, in private practice right now, in Canada, and I believe in the United States as well, you know, there's a labor shortage. And mm-hmm. so the more we train teams, we are inclusive, we make people feel valued, and they know what they're accountable for in their positions, they have the proper onboarding and training. We want to treat them so awesome that, you know, yeah, they have more tools in their tool belt, but they're not going to want to leave because they're part of something bigger than just sit and do your job, right? And so I'm a big believer in education because it's how we, when we know better, we can do better.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the practice owners or the philosophy of the practice, let's just say, and they say, well, why am I going to spend all this money on team training if they're just going to leave? What is your heart on that?
Oh, it drives me crazy because I see that all over the place, just in general, in dental and social media posts. And I think that is not an abundance mindset. Oh. I think that is very closed and well, and I often think to myself as well, well, I wouldn't want to work for that person anyways. Because if you're that closed or you're that scared that someone's going to leave when you do good and you add value to someone, you know, when we work towards people's strengths, what happens? They flourish. It's amazing. So I struggle with that, Kelly, because I'm a believer, you know, a plant grows when we water it. Mm-hmm. So bring that water in and make someone feel amazing, and they will go above and beyond in their position, and they will be happy coming to work because they're a part of that team and that community. And so I struggle because I'm an abundance mindset, and I know you are as well.
Yes, it's, you know, when you're having difficulty potentially finding your right team based on your culture, it lets them know that you're investing in them and that yes. you believe in them and their giftings to bring that out, to elevate everyone. And so what's the cost of not doing it as yes. well?
I agree. The cost of not doing it is, you know, we don't really have newspapers that much anymore where people post ads, but you can see on Indeed or wherever the job postings are, the same offices posting, or they're trying to word it a little differently. And, you know, that we all learned in school, you know, that's a red flag when you keep seeing the same practices looking yes. for new team members, because there's obviously something going on. That revolving door doesn't really make anyone want to go in, right? Yeah. And work. Yeah. So
invest in your teams and mm-hmm. kindness. Mind your words. Your words matter. Jen, you've given yes. us a lot of gems yes. today. Anything else that you want to say to the audience? Words of advice?
My biggest piece of advice is when you're scared, make that jump. Believe in yourself. You can do anything. Anything is possible out there. And you might roll your eyes or think, oh my goodness, it's to my core. Anything is possible. Logically planning, you know, dreaming, thinking about it, being proactive. You know, if you want to do something, set a date, work towards it. Don't mm-hmm. just kind of do whenever. No, what's your date? What's your time? And go for it. Because we're all amazing out there. And find your tribe. Find the ones that help support you and believe in you, and go for it.
Yes. I love that so much. It's you must lean into what scares you. And I think sometimes too, to your point, that logic can get us stuck because we feel like we have to understand everything ahead of time. And sometimes it happens while we are progressing through that. It's not always gifted to us on the first part of it. Follow that passion, the rest will come clear. Yeah.
I totally agree. and shut your thinker off sometimes because we can be the hardest critic on ourselves.
Yes.
So logically make a plan and believe in yourself, right?
Yes. Jen, thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm just honored to get to have you on and spend some time with you.
Thank you so much, Kelly. I really appreciate you and everything you're doing for the industry, and keep going. You're on fire. Thank you.
So are you. Your hats. So for anyone who wants to get in touch with Jen, her contact information is in the show notes. And you guys know that I always ask the favor to go on over to Apple, give a 5-star rating. Even Jen agrees that it should be a 5-star rating, right, Jen? 5-star. And then go on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, and share. Thank you all for what you do for our communities and the public we serve. I'll see you next time, my friends. With love. Take care.